Well, we have guests on the line this morning for Community Conversation, and our theme this morning is, this is Arson Awareness Week, and so that is our guests, and I'm going to ask my guests if they would introduce themselves, and we'll kind of go from there. Do you want to go first, Lisa?
Sure. Thanks, Rick, for having us on. My name is Lisa Wilson. I serve as the Wisconsin State Fire Marshal. I am also a director of field operations for the Western Region of Wisconsin for the Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation. The Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation and the State Fire Marshal's Office are within the Wisconsin Department of Justice under Attorney General Josh Call.
All right. And Brian?
My name is Brian Kolar, and I am the Assistant Special Agent in Charge with ATF, which is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. And for those not familiar with ATF, we're a federal law enforcement agency that falls under the U.S. Department of Justice. And our goal and mission is to protect communities from violent criminals, organizations, to investigate illegal use and trafficking of firearms. But more relevant to this topic, we do investigate acts of arson, bombings, illegal use and storage of explosives, and acts of terrorism.
All right. Interesting. So we'll get from the state and the federal perspective, I guess, this morning. So Arson Awareness Week this week. Arson during civil unrest is the theme. So pretty timely. What happens? What triggers an investigation from the state fire marshal's office and also from ATF at a fire scene?
Sure, Rick. I'll start that, and then I'll turn it over to Brian here.
Sure.
First of all, the Division of Criminal Investigation, we're unique to other law enforcement agencies in the state of Wisconsin in that we're charged with a purely criminal investigative mission. We have special agents who are sworn law enforcement officers, and we possess a statewide jurisdiction, and we are charged with enforcing the laws of Wisconsin. We investigate a myriad of crimes, such as human trafficking, drug trafficking, officer-involved death, computer crimes, crimes against children, human trafficking, homicides, public integrity, white collar, or just a myriad of crimes. So when we look at our Arson Bureau, which is part of DCI, our mission is to conduct investigations into fire and explosions and determine their origin and cause at the request of police and fire agencies in Wisconsin. Our members of our Arson Bureaus are state fire marshals, or deputy state fire marshals, and they're also special agents, so they hold a dual title. Our deputy state fire marshals receive extensive and ongoing specialized training to remain current with the requirements of their work. And I apologize, Rick. We do team up a lot. I want to make sure I'm addressing your question here, but we do team up a lot with ATF, and we are very lucky to have an excellent cooperative relationship with them. And Rick, I apologize if I didn't quite address your question there.
Well, I was kind of looking towards what it is at a fire scene that would make a local fire official call you, because there's got to be some kind of something that triggers things. So they pick up the phone and call either one of your agencies, right?
Absolutely. Thank you for getting me back on track there. I appreciate it. Absolutely. It could be any type of suspicious event, suspicious circumstances involving the fire or explosion event. They just look at the totality of the circumstances. It could also be that they may not be able to determine the origin and cause of the fire, and therefore they may want to call us in and bring in additional resources that have maybe more training and experience than they do, or just bring another set of eyes in for a fresh look.
And Brian, you also would be looking from a criminal standpoint, correct?
That's correct. The ATF gets contacted for the same reasons Lisa just mentioned, when there's something suspicious or maybe they can't make a determination. So, you know, over the years, ATF has developed a position called the Certified Fire Investigator, where our special agents get extensive training and they're highly specialized when it comes to fire scenes and arson related crimes. And they are throughout the country, but they can go to a fire scene. They can assist the local either fire department or state fire marshal's office to, you know, identify, collect, and analyze all kinds of arson-related evidence. And depending on the scenario, they will then become either the lead criminal investigator or even provide expert testimony if it goes that route, you know, through the court system.
See, I would think that with the theme of arson during civil unrest here, I would think that that arsons that occur in as part of protests, if you will, or rioting or what have you, are kind of different than the kind of thing where somebody decides to burn his building down for the insurance money, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, over this past year, we've seen a lot of damage to cities, Kenosha, Minneapolis, Chicago, due to arsons where people, I think, are trying to cover up other crimes or just out of pure acts of vandalism. And then they have no idea how fast these fires can spread and the kind of damage they can do.
I'm guessing that both of your agencies have been involved in Kenosha and other spots.
That is correct.
So you mentioned arson to cover up other crimes. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Lisa, do you want to go first on that?
Sure. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. I just wanted to mention that arson needs to be considered as both a very serious violent crime and a serious property crime. So when it relates to violent crimes, arson has been used to commit homicides, to attempt to cover up homicides committed in another manner, and it's been used to intimidate and strike fear in the victims. So it is, like I said, it's a very serious violent crime, but it's a very serious property crime as well. Obviously, it's set for fraud. It's set because sometimes people may just not want the property anymore. They may have a beef against whoever the property owner is. So there's a lot of reasons for arson to be committed, for sure.
Do you notice that the number of arsons increases in times of not necessarily civil unrest, but financial unrest? Are there more? Do people set more fires when they're in financial stress?
Well, Brian, what you got?
I can say, at least from the ACS perspective, I can't say it's definitely fine. I mean, there is a financial motive, but I don't have any data that shows, you know, during like a recession or something that there's truly more arsons being set. I don't have that data, but that's definitely a motive, no doubt. You know, to get money, a failing business can be, the insurance proceeds could really assist someone whose business is failing.
Lisa, did you have anything to add to that?
I can't say, again, I agree with your assessment there, Brian. I can't say that we notice an increase during a recession or during tough financial times. Like I said, each is kind of unique in the situations that Brian just mentioned, whether it's just a struggling business or somebody who's angry at a business. And so it may not be the business owners, but they're not happy with their treatment there, or they feel they've been wronged.
So what kind of things can people do as a preventive measure for either their home or their business to make sure that if there is some unrest in the area, that they don't become a target, I guess, or that if they are a target, they've got as much protection in place as possible?
Well, I know, like, for the riots and the civil unrest that occurred, I mean, those were usually limited to like some government buildings, emergency vehicles. There were some liquor stores and drug stores that were targeted. But it's not like people's residences or where they live were being targeted. It was more like a downtown area of a city like a Kenosha. So, you know, the people can feel safe that they're in their residences, but it's just those downtown businesses have to be prepared if there is some sort of civil unrest coming through their town, that they're not going to become victims.
And I'd add to that, Brian, that, you know, you've probably seen in some areas where businesses have proactively boarded up in anticipation of maybe peaceful protesting evolving down into more acts of criminal damage through graffiti, breaking of windows, and by fire set. So that's another way is people are proactive in trying to protect their businesses. Obviously, cameras are incredibly helpful, whether they're public cameras or the business or the residence sets up cameras as well. Ring doorbells have been a great advantage for any homeowner for any crime committed, not just arson.
Do you think that during civil unrest that arson is premeditated, or does it just kind of occur? What's been your experience?
Lisa here. I'll start with that one. I think, Rick, it's probably a little bit of both. I think some people have some intent to take advantage of a peaceful protest and use that as an opportunity to make a statement beyond just having their voice be heard as a First Amendment constitutional guaranteed right. Some people, like I said, like to take that protest into another area and cause damage, like I said, through criminal damage or through fire. So I think it depends. But I do believe that there are some people that just maybe get caught up in the moment as well. Brian?
Yeah, I would agree. We've seen kind of both as well. It's some people go to these events and truly take advantage of the peaceful protest, and they go there with that intention. And then other people just are opportunists, that they take advantage of that chaos as well. And then the fires begin, and it really gets out of hand quicker than I think that they realize.
All right. If someone has information about an arson, and not necessarily kind of getting off the civil unrest portion here, but if someone has information about a potential arson, what should they do? Who do they contact? What should they do?
Lisa, you want to give a number?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So as fire investigators, we definitely want to find that origin and cause, and we want to find the truth and hold those people accountable. And sometimes all we need is that little bit more of information from the public. Law enforcement always needs the public's help in solving any crime. The State Fire Marshal's Office has teamed up with the Wisconsin Arson Insurance Council to establish a public arson tip line. Callers with information can call that Wisconsin Arson tip line toll-free at 800-362-3005. They can leave their name or be anonymous. And if the information they provide lead to the arrest and conviction of a subject, that caller could be eligible for a reward up to $5,000.
All right. Brian, anything to add to that?
Yes. The ATF also has a tip line. It's 1-888-ATF-FIRE. And then there's also our website is atftips@atf.gov. I'm sorry, that's an email. You can email your information as well. And that's also anonymous. Depending on the type of information provided, rewards are also potentially available. And we are obviously still actively looking for information relative to Kenosha at this time, but that tip line can be used for any sort of information in reference to an arson. So, yeah, we hope to get information. Just that little bit can really sometimes turn the case, and we're going to continue to aggressively investigate any of these arsons that were a result of the civil unrest and hold those people responsible that that did the damage.
And again, that information that people may have may just be that they recognize a person from some of the footage that's gone out there, from some of the stills and so on and so forth, right? They don't have to necessarily know more than that. They can say, hey, that looks like Jim, right?
100%. Absolutely.
Agreed.
All right. Anything else that the two of you would like to share this morning?
Just like to share on my end, Rick, real quick, that that Wisconsin DOJ, and I know the ATF, we recognize and respect completely the First Amendment right to assemble and peacefully protest and have your voice be heard. So we appreciate the opportunity to be here, and it's just when people take advantage of those opportunities to sow discontent and cause fires and that doesn't happen very often. But when it does, as Brian said, we certainly want to be there to help find those individuals responsible and hold them accountable.
All right, Brian.
Just to echo what Lisa said, we have a great partnership with Wisconsin Department of Justice, the State Fire Marshal's Office, as well as our local fire departments. And that's ATF's mission as well, is to help first the scenes and then go try to find the folks responsible and hold them accountable. And that's what we really try to work for every day.
All right. Well, thank you both for your time this morning. I certainly appreciate it. And Can we get those two phone numbers one more time, the state number and the national ATF number, please?
Absolutely. Rick, you want to go ahead with your information first to include the email?
The federal one is going to be 1-888-ATF-FIRE, and then the email is atftips@atf.gov.
All right. Thanks, Brian. And Lisa?
Yes, thank you. Our Wisconsin Arson Tip Line, in cooperation with the Wisconsin Arson Insurance Council, 800-362-3005. 1-800-362-3005.